WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Addressing anger in the large Arab American community in Michigan over U.S. support of Israel in the Gaza war, Vice President Harris in Detroit outside a church.
We need to end the war, and we need to get the hostages out. And as President of the United States, I will do everything in my power to achieve that end and a two-state solution.
Some Muslim leaders say Donald Trump was the architect of the so-called Muslim ban. Their candidate was just joking, says the Trump campaign, at a rally in Lititz, Pennsylvania, when he talked about what a shooter would have to do.
To get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much.
Crowd laughed, some applauded.
I think that what the ex-president just said is a further indication of his cognitive degeneration.
Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, California Democrat on MSNBC. This is ABC News. There is not only more than 200 deaths from enormous flash flooding last week in Spain, and not only are they still searching for bodies under thick mud, there's anger over the government's response, and it's Spain's King Felipe and Queen Letizia, says ABC's Patrick Reval.
Hundreds of angry people throwing mud at them and shouting murderers as they visited a town badly hit by last week's catastrophic floods. By Porter, the king talking to some to try to calm them. He and the Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, were eventually evacuated.
To speed up processing a severe backlog of DNA and other evidence in sexual assault kits, the Nashville Metro Council wants to outsource the kits to private vendors.
When things are being backlogged, it just really feels like the system isn't paying attention to your needs.
Valerie Craig, co-founder of Tennessee Voices for Victims. If you're stressed by the election, a cognitive behavioral therapist suggests detach. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's voter ID law can be a nightmare for college students. They can use their student ID, but only if it's compliant with state rules, and most aren't. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
On some campuses, students need to request a special ID that includes their photo, legal name, signature, issuing date, and expiration date. Kristen Hansen with Common Cause in Wisconsin works with college students to help them vote. She says state law just makes it difficult.
This is one of the things that is a mystery, is a school already knows the student is who they say they are. They've already provided identification to the school. And so the ID that the school gives should be enough without all this other nonsense attached to it.
Hansen says another challenge for students is providing proof of residency, as some can change addresses every year they're enrolled. Meanwhile, out-of-state students face additional hurdles in registering to vote. Molly Ford, an out-of-state senior at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, is very familiar with these hurdles. This is her first time voting in a presidential election, but she voted in the state's general election 2 years ago. She says she almost missed one of her class finals because she had to run back to her dorm to get a document after having already stood in line.
My friend that was in the class was like, "You're crazy. I would have just not done that." And I was like, well, it was important to me to vote in this election.
Ford says although her school has been proactive about promoting the student vote, it would be helpful to know more about what exactly is needed to cast a ballot. You can get that information online at myvote.wi.gov. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain for your Sunday. Highs near the 50-degree mark and breezy southeast winds up around 30 miles per hour. Tonight, rain continues. Lows in the mid-40s. Gusty south winds. Rain on Monday and highs near 60.
Currently 46 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from our Madison studio, where I welcome King of the Hill and Futurama TV writer Mike Rowe and musician Eric Gelland from Mascot Theory joins me in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
First up on this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear a segment from the Dom Salvia Show. This week, Dom welcomed on Dr. Melinda Brennan, Executive Director of the ACLU of Wisconsin. Dr. Brennan urges us all to work to protect our rights and urges us to vote because so many of our rights, from voting itself to bodily autonomy, are on the ballot this upcoming Tuesday.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can join 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you right now, Dr. Melinda Brennan. She is the Executive Director of the ACLU of Wisconsin. Melinda, welcome to the show. Happy Halloween.
Thanks so much for having me, Dom.
It is my pleasure. Voting, this is, the partisanship. The ACLU of Wisconsin, is this a partisan organization, Melinda?
We are not. We just want everyone to be informed and to be able to cast their vote in a free and fair election.
Excellent. Love that. And you've been doing lots of work in that regard. I had Greg Pallas on the show recently. He's been diving into election shenanigans, let's call it, in Georgia. And they have specific laws. Apparently, you can go out and challenge people's votes, their ballot. Anybody could. I don't know the details of it, so I'm not going to get into it, Melinda. But according to the documentary, they're really, really messing up some games there. And it's impacting people's ability to go vote. Now, here in the state of Wisconsin, we don't have that, to my knowledge, yet. But what are we seeing as challenges for folks this time around as they go try to go vote, Melinda?
Well, I think one of the most important pieces of this is about whether or not you have accurate information that you're basing your vote on. So a little piece of the work that we did, we sent out a questionnaire to all of these candidates that we've got because we have new maps. And yep. We wanted to hear what people would say to us that we would be able to use to hold them accountable. And when I say we, I don't just mean the ACLU of Wisconsin. I mean all the people that are voting for them or not. And so we made this survey. We sent it out. We asked about IVF. We asked about abortion. We asked about whether or not people would take a pledge that they would accept election results. Mm-hmm. So what we wanted to do across our platform of issues is we wanted to get in the candidates' own words without us endorsing or opposing anyone. They got to craft what other people would see. And we put their information, just as they gave it to us, directly on our website. So if people are looking for accurate information and have not early voted and they're going to go on election day, we'd ask them to come to the website and get that information so they can make up their own minds. Another piece of the puzzle was we wanted to make sure that we had a voter guide that was updated, and we did that with some coalition partners. We want everyone to be informed about how to be able to vote. And we also did some canvassing as well, because we wanted people to know who was operating in the 61st district as well. And that was a wonderful campaign to be a part of as well. But essentially what I'm saying here is we want everyone to be informed.
Melinda, if people want to go to the website and check out the responses from the candidates, what's give them the website address, please.
ACLU of Wisconsin, if you do that, and if you do a search for our candidate comparison, it'll come right up.
Excellent. Was there any, I'm curious, and I haven't seen it yet, so I will check it out. I'm curious, the question about whether or not the results of this election will be accepted. What was some of the, did you need shocking response to your recollection on that question?
Not at all. What we had hoped for was everyone to answer every single question. But if a candidate decided not to respond, that's recorded as well. Yeah. So it's not so much a shock as a disappointment. I would have loved to have seen every single person stand up and with their chest say, yes, I absolutely will accept the results of a free and fair election. Because if you believe in democracy, I would assume that any candidate who's running for office would believe in democracy and would want every single person who's voting to feel like their vote mattered, because what are we doing if not otherwise? So no surprises, just some disappointment from folks not bothering to answer the question or apparently maybe not wanting to be held to account afterwards.
And what about after the election? You know, there's lots of reporting out there, Melinda, about Republicans, you know, laying some groundwork to challenge if Trump loses. And of course, there's also reporting of millions of dollars being on standby for Democrats to challenge and go after and defend the election if Kamala wins. I mean, any shenanigans? What's your sense of what might happen after the election?
If I'm going to be honest, none of us know. What I'll tell you is that the ACLU and the ACLU of Wisconsin, as all affiliates in our federated system, have made plans to make sure that every vote is counted. And so that means election protection is really important. And so all across the country, I believe that folks are paying very close attention to make sure that there is no interference of any kind. And so there's much monitoring. We can speculate all we want. What I would ask for is everybody to act right, as I often say, which is the request is just from people to be able to cast their ballots, have them counted, have faith in the system, and that any challenges that happen, which should be incredibly limited because we do not have mass voter fraud. And that's some of the misinformation, I think, that has a chilling effect on democracy. I think a lot of the conversation is based around misinformation. And the fears is a, and conversations are a lot of posturing. There's not, likely as not, there's not going to be challenges that are legitimate. And so what I would hate to see is I would hate to see many, many challenges across the country that is clogging up our courts, which have important work to do. But I would like to see people still in line and voting all the way out throughout the day with the belief that if they're in line and they stay in line, that they get to vote because that's their right. We know that depending on what you're talking about in terms of the election, if you're talking about the top of the ticket or Senate races or assembly districts, some of those results were going to come in on election day because the count will be able to be done. But if we're talking about certification, we might be waiting a little bit because most races are awfully close. And that's no different in Wisconsin than it is at the national level.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Dr. Melinda Brennan. She's the executive director at the ACLU of Wisconsin. Abortion rights. You said you talked about abortion and abortion rights and abortion access. What did you find out? What are people saying? And what's the ACLU's position?
Sure. Well, let me tell you, let me answer that question first about what people are saying. We know that nationwide, not just in Wisconsin, but certainly in Wisconsin, abortion and reproductive rights more generally, that's an important life-saving access to healthcare. It should be all kinds of reproductive health care should be readily available. It should not be blocked whatsoever. With the fall of Roe, it landed at the state's level. And so states' rights matter a great deal. That is a major motivating factor and is getting people to the polls. And that's very clear throughout our messaging and the interest in the election, particularly enough that we had to put it in our questions to all the folks that might want to get elected this season. I will say this, you cannot take rights away that have existed for 50 years and not expect an awful lot of people to stand up and with one voice say, this is unacceptable to me. This was not my expectation. As a person of reproductive age still, it was not my expectation in my lifetime to lose these rights myself. And I am not alone with many people, whether they themselves could become pregnant or not, whether they themselves are seeking reproductive health care currently or not. I think one of the most important pieces of this, that it not be limited to sex or gender. There are an awful lot of people in this country, in this state, who care very much whether a person who is pregnant lives or dies. And it is a matter of life or death and life-saving health care. And so I don't know what could be more motivating than wanting to imagine that if you had to make a decision, you could, that would save your life or the life of someone you love. And that's not just limited to whether or not you yourself would be in that bodily position.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would add to that is either in this country, we believe in bodily autonomy or not. We believe in a lack of governmental interference in our lives or not. And so if you want the free exercise of religion without governmental intervention, then you should too want people to have bodily autonomy. And if those two things don't align for you, that's all right, but you should ask yourself a question about how small do you want government to be that it can be in intimate crevices in your life.
Melinda, some of the stories on the national stage of women dying because they couldn't get access to abortive care are just devastating. You know, Harris talked about them, said their names, and it's more than one, and these are all preventable, and it's a as a middle-aged white guy, you know, I feel for my wife, my daughter, my the women in my lives and everybody. It is just, and you hear the stories and the results of this decision is literally killing people, and it's a shame, and I hope that is a motivating factor for many folks. Just a couple of minutes left, Melinda. What I've noticed in some of these political ads are just the anti-LGBTQ ads are just disgusting and dehumanizing. Just a couple of minutes. What are your thoughts on how those have been run?
I completely agree. And what I'll say is this. We know that the ACLU all across our 50 states and 54 affiliates, we've been tracking over 500 bills in the course of the last legislative session. We know the attacks are going to keep coming. And what is particularly troubling to me is the linkage between reproductive health care and anti-trans sentiment. And what I mean by that is, again, bodily autonomy matters. And we know that gender-affirming care is also life-saving, which is not fundamentally different from the life-saving impacts of reproductive health care. And again, either we in this country believe that it is imperative that we care about whether our neighbors, our friends, our lovers, our childhood friends, our coworkers, anyone in your life, someone you would bump into in the grocery store, we either want them to be able to be self-determining beings and live a meaningful life, or we don't. And I don't think we can also say that we care, for example, about children and not have reproductive health care and gender-affirming care for children as well. And so I would just say we should resist at any cost taking away rights from people who need them to live.
Amen. Melinda Brennan from the ACLU of Wisconsin, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your efforts and the get out the vote and protecting the vote. This is very important stuff. Folks, you can go to the ACLU-WI.org and find more information there. Melinda, thank you so much. Have a great Halloween and happy election season. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Tom.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. We're going to come back with some of your calls, 855-752-4842.
The Dom Salvia Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 4 till 6. To learn more about this show and all the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Earl Ingram Show. Earl was joined by the mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson, to talk about the impact of the Biden-Harris administration on the city and the importance of Tuesday's election.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. As promised, I'm joined by the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Let me ask you quickly. I know you're here to talk about the election. You know, you constantly hear people talking about what is Kamala Harris going to do. With you being a mayor of a large urban city, can you talk about the impact of the resources that the city has received under the Build Back Better plan with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the impact that has had on the city of Milwaukee itself?
Sure, absolutely. That's a great question. So in the administration of the vice president is currently involved in, the city of Milwaukee has been able to pull down literally millions and millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars to support us on the ground in Milwaukee. I mean, I'll talk about the American Rescue Plan Act first, because if those dollars hadn't flown to Milwaukee, if they hadn't come to Milwaukee from President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, we'd be in a really, really rough situation right now in this city. Our public safety would be jeopardized. Our library system wouldn't be operating the way that it is. We'd have hundreds of other city employees who deliver services each and every single day who just wouldn't be on the job. But the reason that we were in a position to keep those things going is because of the investments that we got from the vice president and the president. So I'm immensely grateful for them for that. And look, as I've gone to Washington, D.C. and have sat in those meetings in the White House and the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, the person who is leading the charge on that is Vice President Kamala Harris. She's the one who's in the room. She's the one who's engaging with mayors. She's the one who's leading that effort. So Milwaukee has been a true beneficiary of Vice President Harris's leadership in the White House. And I'm looking forward to seeing her there still and become the 47th president of the United States.
So as a lifelong resident of the city of Milwaukee for now over 70 years, I see the impact of, you know, we can say 5 years ago and looking at our city and where it was and not looking at a lot of hope economically to fix some of the ills that had impacted our community for far too long. To see the miraculous change that occurred in the last 4 years for somebody like me is just unbelievable. I can see it visually.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And look, when you've got more safety, and again, we've been able to keep the city safe and, you know, actually lay a foundation to grow public safety in Milwaukee. We're in a position right now because of the runway that Vice President Harris and President Biden gave us. We're in a position right now where we're actually able to add more money to hire police officers. But even outside of that, we're in a position where we're actually reopening firehouses all across Milwaukee that have been shuttered. Over the course of the last number of years, we've been closing firehouses. Now we're in a position where we're opening firehouses again, adding to more public safety in Milwaukee. And if you look over the course of the last number of years, in America, generally, crime is at a 50-year low. Like, people are living in communities that are safer. And that is true in Milwaukee as well. And we've got an approach around public safety that involves accountability for people who commit, you know, acts of death or harm or destruction in Milwaukee. I say constantly that those folks should be held to account, but then also prevention, also working to make sure that young people particularly, they never are in a position where they're making those decisions anyway. And that work has only been bolstered by our partnerships with Vice President Harris and with President Joe Biden. And when you have those sort of investment, it creates, you know, this sense in the business community to say, hey, that's a place where I want to go to add jobs, to build office spaces and create more vibrancy. And we've seen that here.
Mayor Johnson, is it safe to say that if Donald Trump becomes the president of the United States, this could be impeded, the success, the progress that the city has made forward in many different areas? And if Kamala Harris, you know, becomes the president, this thing and this renaissance will continue?
Oh, there no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, when you look at what's happening right now, we're less than a week before Election Day, which I want to remind people, you don't have to wait till Election Day. That's actually the last day to vote. You should vote early, vote now, get it done. You never know what's going to happen on Election Day. I was watching the news this morning, and it's going to rain on Election Day. So, you know, weather sometimes deters people from going to vote. So just get it done, do it early. You can do it all the way up until Sunday, November 3rd at one of the 10 early voting locations here in the city of Milwaukee. But when you look at the closing arguments that are being provided right now by Mr. Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris, there's no doubt that there's a difference between the two. I mean, Kamala Harris is talking about policies that actually would benefit people. She's talking about things that people are concerned about in Milwaukee and Wisconsin and across this country, whether that's, you know, money for down payment assistance for a home, whether that's money to support people who are earlier on in building their families, whether that's entrepreneurial opportunities for people in America, whether that's growing more housing in the United States, whether that's focusing in on issues that are important specifically to Black men, specifically to the Latino community here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin and in the United States. And on the other hand, Donald Trump is, you know, putting on rallies, talking about, you know, Puerto Rico being a floating island of garbage, talking about Arnold Palmer's manhood, talking about sharks and batteries, talking about Hannibal Lecter being, you know, this great person. He's not focused in on what's important to the American people. He's talking a lot of nonsense, and he's talking about having retribution against people who he perceived to have wronged him. This should not even be a question. This shouldn't even be a close race. There's only one candidate in this race who's looking out for you and your listeners, and that's Vice President Kamala Harris.
So let me ask you quickly this last question. How safe is the election? How safe in the city of Milwaukee?
Incredibly safe. Our elections commissioner, Paulina Gutierrez, she works in tandem with the Milwaukee Police Department, with Chief Jeffrey Norman, with the Milwaukee Fire Department, and Chief Aaron Lipsky on a daily basis to make sure we have a strong and secure election in Milwaukee. There's been some recent reporting around that. I encourage you and your listeners to go and look those things up. We'll have a secure election in Milwaukee, as we always have.
Hey, Mayor Johnson, thank you very much. Love to have you after the election. And you know, as we talk about the victory and look towards the future.
Thank you.
All right, that's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. It's always great to have him on. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Addressing anger in the large Arab American community in Michigan over U.S. support of Israel in the Gaza war, Vice President Harris in Detroit outside a church.
We need to end the war, and we need to get the hostages out. And as President of the United States, I will do everything in my power to achieve that end and a two-state solution.
Some Muslim leaders say Donald Trump was the architect of the so-called Muslim ban. Their candidate was just joking, says the Trump campaign, at a rally in Lititz, Pennsylvania, when he talked about what a shooter would have to do.
To get me, somebody would have to shoot through the fake news. And I don't mind that so much.
Crowd laughed, some applauded.
I think that what the ex-president just said is a further indication of his cognitive degeneration.
Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, California Democrat on MSNBC. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers lose to Iowa. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. Wisconsin scored first with a field goal, then never had the lead the rest of the night. The Badgers lose to the Hawkeyes, 42-10. Iowa running back Caleb Johnson could not be stopped, rushing for 135 yards and three touchdowns. Wisconsin now 5-4 for the season. They have a bye week coming up, followed by hosting the number one ranked team in the nation, Oregon. NBA, the Bucks were back home in Milwaukee and still came up short, losing to the Cavaliers, 114-113. Doc Rivers on why they've now lost five in a row.
We don't sustain the game. We haven't been able to sustain 48 minutes. I thought the Boston game, we came out, we played great, and then, you know, there was a didn't score. It's a two-point game at halftime where it easily could have been eight, and then they had that stretch. Tonight, same thing. We have these lulls where we don't score, we don't get stops, and that's what we have to try to fix through rotations maybe, through playing different guys. We just got to keep searching.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Rain is likely tonight. Temperatures in the upper 40s, and it will be windy. Chance of rain for Monday and cloudy skies with a high around 60 degrees. Winds gust up to 20 out of the west. Monday night, scattered showers and thunderstorms and a low around 40.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. During the politics season, while I do listen to all the words that folks say, I prefer to crunch the numbers behind all their fancy speeches. And the number I'm thinking about today is $7.5 trillion. That is a moderate estimate by the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget of what conservatives' plans will add to the national debt. This includes continuing tax cuts for the wealthiest people and lowering the tax rate for some corporations, and it is a lot of money. And, you know, money's going to have to come from somewhere. We can't afford anything that might create cuts to Social Security or Medicare. Seniors who've paid into Social Security are counting on that money for retirement. I don't want us risking Social Security by adding $7.5 trillion to the national debt. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own, Dobie Maxwell, joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood burning computer plugged into the?
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just got to hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to this week's Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we'll go to the John and Gordy Show, where this week they welcomed on John Zimbrunnen, a faculty member at the University of Wisconsin and advisor to Badger's Vote.
Trick or treat. Tell your neighbors on the diaphragm. It's so tall. Everybody's cool. It's Halloween. 92.7 WMDX, a little Nightmare Before Christmas there. And this is, of course, our Halloween edition of John and Gordy in the Morning. And now we want to find out a little bit more about how to vote on campus. It's a big mystery to me. So many things have been kicked around over the many, many years. And we've got John Zimbrunnen in the studio, and he's going to fill us in on what's happening on campus when it comes to voting and what students can or cannot do, and voter turnout as well. But let's get into the idea of what the students can expect to do during this election season.
Yeah, good morning. It's great to be with you. Appreciate the chance to come on and share what we're doing on campus.
Good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we're working hard through our Badgers Vote effort to make it possible for every student on campus who wants to cast a vote to cast a vote. And also encouraging students to get out there and exercise that fundamental right.
So do a lot of students take part in local voting here, or do some of them prefer to vote at home?
It's both, of course. A fair number of students from out of state or who live elsewhere in Wisconsin will decide to register here in Dane County and vote in Dane County. But we've also got a lot of students who make the decision to vote wherever they call home. And, you know, as far as we're concerned on campus, our job is to make sure that they know how to go about voting, whatever their decision about where to vote is, and to support them in that, to get them the latest up-to-date information.
When did you start the program, Badgers Vote?
You know, Badgers Vote's been going on as long as I've been at UW-Madison, and I came here in the fall of 2008. So it's an ongoing effort. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, of course, evolved over time. It connects us up with our peer institutions in the Big Ten who undertake similar efforts on their campuses. We got a little bit of a friendly competition going on about voter registration and voter turnout rates, and we usually do pretty well.
So how does that look so far as students out there voting?
Yeah, we know that we know we had really good response around voter registration on campus. So we had up over 1,700 students register to vote through the voter registration events and opportunities that we were providing on campus in partnership with the Madison City Clerk. I don't have specific numbers on in-person absentee or early voting, but, you know, anecdotally, I will tell you that there's been a lot of activity. We've got four IPAV, in-person absentee voting locations on campus, and anecdotally hearing of a lot of traffic through those sites, sometimes some lines. We've worked with the city clerk's office on expanding our capacity to meet the demand. There's a lot of students who are voting early.
So I was at the Alliance Center last night, and a lot of UW students were there for Kamala Harris. Big, big crowd. I mean, it was sold out, and a lot of energy there.
Yep.
And I guess what I want to ask is if students are out there and they haven't registered yet, and you know it's getting down to the last few days here, what's the protocol?
Yep. So today and tomorrow, students can still come to one of our four in-person absentee voting sites on campus. That's at Memorial Union, Union South, the Health Sciences Learning Center down on the west end of campus, and then we have a site out in Eagle Heights area where a lot of graduate students have housing. So students can come to one of those four sites on campus. They can register to vote and vote right then. And then, of course, in the state of Wisconsin, they can register to vote and vote on Election Day next Tuesday, and we've got a set of polling sites on campus. Students who want particular information about those sites and about what they need to do to be ready to vote can visit vote.wisc.edu. And I'll just say there's information on there that's valuable, not just for students, but really for anybody who wants to know the basics of how to vote in Wisconsin.
Wiscvote.edu.
Vote.wisc.edu.
Okay. All right.
And what do they need to bring along to registered.
So students need proof of residence. You have to have been in residence for 28 consecutive days.
All right. Bring their address with them.
And then they'll need a voter ID as well, right, or an ID that works for voting. Now, we do also have ID print stations on campus. So students who, you know, especially thinking about out-of-state students who won't have the necessarily the ID that they need
right.
to vote in Wisconsin, the university does work to help students get the printed ID that they need to be able to vote.
I was going to ask you, that we do require a university ID, and it is good for voting.
The university ID itself is mm-hmm. not necessarily good for voting, but this is why we have the
a different
ID
version of
printing
it?
Station where we will help them get printed what they need.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because that was a big hangup for me. I wasn't quite sure if the voter ID or the student ID was used now as proof of your residency.
Yeah.
They don't put the address on
that. That's right. That's right. Student ID, our WISC card, as we call it, doesn't have your address. But again, best thing for students to do is not necessarily to listen to me on the radio, but go to vote.wisc.edu and find the information mm-hmm. they need there. We've worked really hard to create a site that's user-friendly and that is the sort of single source of truth on voting for our students.
Sam, you got question?
Yeah, I kind of got a two-pronged question. I know Badgers Vote isn't a political group on campus, but I don't know if you can speak at all to how the voting block of college students and more broadly Gen Z are playing a kind of significant role in this election. And also, because students from UW come from all over the place, not just Wisconsin, how students at UW are playing a role in Wisconsin, which is a very much a swing state.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is the case that Badgers Vote is a sort of effort, an organized, coordinated effort by the university to, again, support people in exercising their right to vote. We're a public university. That means we're nonpartisan and nonpolitical, where Badgers Vote is not about talking to people about how we think they should vote or how anyone else on campus thinks they should vote. We don't care in the context of Badgers Vote how students vote. We want to support them and encourage them to vote. You know, there are absolutely student organizations on campus that are engaged in more politically oriented activity.
Right.
And that's great. We want a campus where there's thriving political discourse and debate. But that's not what the university, that's not our responsibility as a university. On your second question, I guess that in some ways invites me over into my professor of political science role. You know, I think we all know that the youth votes an important part of the electorate in general and certainly in this election. You don't have to be a political scientist. You just have to read the newspapers and look at the polls to know that there's segments of the youth vote that are the subject of really intense competition between the two presidential campaigns. And of course, turnout of those young voters is really important. So we're in that phase of the election right now where it's a matter of making sure that people get to the polls and vote. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been asked before the question, are UW-Madison students going to make the difference in this election? I mean, I think we all know that the state of Wisconsin is going to be really close. It's been really close in every presidential election since I've lived here, every statewide election since I've lived here. So, you know, whatever side of the political aisle one's on, and whether you're a UW-Madison student or you're living in Dane County or somewhere out in the state, your vote matters in this election. So again, what we're about at the university is just making sure people got pathways to get out there and vote.
And there's no reason to actually believe what the polls are saying anyway, because the polls don't really count the newly registered voters out there. And there has been an incredible drive to get those registrations up. You know, in fact, it's gone through the roof as far as young people are concerned.
Sure. And here we get to, while I'm a political science professor, I'm actually a political philosophy professor. So dangerous for me to, I'm more comfortable talking about Plato than I'm talking about polls. But, you know, I mean, you know, pollsters pollsters, of course, aren't just guessing, right? They're drawing random samples, and then they're trying to understand how to weight those samples in ways that that they believe, based on their experience and methodology, gets them close as they can to an accurate representation of the broader voting population.
Their history hasn't been great, though.
Sure, right? And that, I hear you on that. And, you know, honestly, we're going to know sometime next week how well they've done this time.
Right. Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's true.
So I you hear me as the political scientist there, not quite wanting to go all the way with you on don't believe the polls. I mean, I think you take the polls as one piece of evidence out there in the political world, and you know, you shouldn't ever believe any one particular piece of evidence is the absolute truth. So
my eyes opened up a lot, though, when you know, Taylor Swift did the endorsement. You know, registrations went through the roof for that. When Kamala was announced, registrations went through the roof again. A lot of the students were voting against Joe Biden because of his policies in Gaza, and when Kamala came in, that kind of switched everything around quite a bit, actually. So, you know, and again, because they aren't being counted, which is something new to me, I did not know that. So it's brand new, and I'm trying to adjust to the idea that maybe this is really kind of a sleeper cell out there. You know, it's suddenly we're going to find out there are a lot of people voting on the Democratic ticket this time around.
Totally possible. You know,
I don't want to put you on the spot, yeah, as far as taking a side here.
Also not going to make predictions, but, you know, I mean, it's always a challenge when pollsters try to apply their likely voter screens. It's always a challenge to figure out who's going to vote and who's not. So, yeah.
John, do you think that celebrity endorsements have any sway, and another side question of that, newspaper endorsements? Editorial endorsements.
Yeah, how about the newspapers not endorsing? What are your feelings on that?
Oh boy, y'all are really asking me to step outside of my administrator hat and speak as a political science professor, and I'm imagining my colleagues back in the political science department who, you know, make a living studying American politics instead of thinking about the ancient Greeks like I always have, and making them nervous now. I don't know. You know, I mean, on celebrity endorsements, I think you got to think about persuasion, like changing people's minds, which in our contemporary political world probably doesn't happen that much. Thinking about that versus sort of excitement, enthusiasm, motivation, getting people out to vote. And so I would tend to think that celebrity endorsements are probably going to do more on the side of getting people out to the polls. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my own thoughts about Taylor Swift, but then I have a 17-year-old daughter.
So. Yes, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. I know.
I hear a lot of Taylor in my house.
Yeah. There were rumors she was going to show up last night at the Alliance Center. That didn't happen.
But, you know, one side has the Hulkster and another has Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Help us all, please.
Well, John, thank you for being with us today. Again, if people need more information, give us the website that you're recommending.
vote.wisc.edu.
Okay, I wanted to clear up one thing. I'm still a little hazy on what you print up for these students. What is it that you print up? I mean, they come in with their identifications. Mm-hmm. What is it that you print up that helps them get the papers or the ID that they need?
We're able to print an ID document that establishes their legal identity and their legal residence, so, and allows them then will be accepted by the city clerk's office to allow them to register to vote.
Oh, excellent.
Vote.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, John, again, thanks for coming in. And I know you're going to be busy here the next few days, I imagine, with Badger Votes. And again, we appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us and all that information.
Finally straighten out this mess.
The Taylor Swift mess? Was it?
That was a big question for me.
Well, thanks very much, guys.
All right. Appreciate it very much.
Very good.
Oh, man.
Coming up, we've got this, that, and the other. Leftovers. Some odds and ends. And we'll be back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
It's Halloween.
Thanks, John.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Usually the show has a daily segment of musical clips from this day in history. So what do you do when the computer crashes and you can't play your music? You call a doctor. Thankfully, Dr. Kristen Lyerly was willing to play the role of a human jukebox, since the show must go on. To hear any of the shows featured on the Civic Media Spotlight, download the Civic Media app, available on the Google Play and Apple App Store. Missed your favorite show? Listen to it in podcast form on Spotify, Apple Music, or at civicmedia.us. Now, here's Pat Kreitlow.
And the sun shines on L.A. Steve Perry, who made his debut with Journey on this day in, I'll make you all guess the year, not Greg, obviously, but Selena Heller's now here. Selena, Kristen, when did Steve Perry join Journey on this day in what year?
78.
It was the year I was born.
77.
There it is.
Oh. Wow. Good. And I say L.A. because Steve Perry, when he had written the song before joining Journey, and he'd written it about L.A., but then it wasn't going anywhere. He felt it wasn't quite right, and then he joined Journey, and they were in San Francisco, and he said, yeah, this works better. So the light shines on the bay, and Lights became their first hit with Steve Perry in 1978.
I stick by Green Bay.
You can definitely stick with Green Bay. I don't know that Mr. Perry will agree, but that was his debut with the group. Oh gosh, 47 years ago now.
Yep.
Wow.
Don't put a number on it.
Just yeah. So Lights was their big hit in 1978. On this day in 1978, the number one song was by Nick Gilder.
I'm sorry, Pat. We're having some technical difficulties.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
What did the computer do? What did the bad computer do?
I can't.
Did it log you out like it logged me out about 45 minutes ago?
No, I can't. I have I run four monitors right now, and
yes.
I can't get the mouse over to the monitor where the music is.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I got you covered. Hot child. In
oh,
the
God.
City.
No, save us.
Is that right? Is that it?
That is.
Do I have it?
Yes, you did. Ding, ding, ding. Nick Gilder had the number one song this day in 1978, as you heard right there. On this day in 1492, Christopher Columbus landed in Cuba on his first voyage to the New World. He thought he'd landed in Japan. That's the importance of GPS, boys and girls. On this day in 1636, the Massachusetts Bay Colony voted to establish a theological college. You now know it as Harvard University. The Statue of Liberty was dedicated this day in 1886.
On this day in 1963, as we go back to the Kristen Lyerly jukebox here, the Beach Boys released a tune featuring part of the Hawthorne High School fight song, Where the Wilson Brothers Went to School. Yes, they released Be True to Your School this day in 1963. Hit it, Kristen.
I can't. Okay. I could sing with it.
Oh, okay.
That's one that I cannot produce.
I thought maybe you'd even give us the little Mike Love kind of like, Be True to Your School. But no,
I can give you a little Help Me, Rhonda.
Okay. That's okay. Do you know any Brad Paisley by chance?
Brad Paisley is
52 years old today.
I love Brad Paisley. Let's see. There's the song about the driving your truck.
The song about driving your truck. I was going to play a snippet of Mud on the Tires.
That's the one that I'm thinking about.
All right. Go for it, Kristen. It's all yours.
Can't.
Greg, help her out over here.
Got to get a little mud on the tires.
Thank you, Greg.
I don't even know if that was right. I can't even ding you on that.
It's right.
It's right. Trust me, it's right.
Annie Potts. Annie Potts, whether you know her as Meemaw from Young Sheldon or from back in the day with Designing Women, Annie Potts is 72 years old today. The late Charlie Daniels was born this day in 1936. Kristen, you got any Charlie Daniels for us?
Hey, that's good.
I don't know if the fiddle goes doodaloo, but you know we'll take that.
It's Bill Gates.
It is, yes. Bill Gates is 69 years old today.
Nice.
Julia Roberts is 57 today. Joaquin Phoenix turns 50 today. We played Stevie Wonder a little bit earlier because on this day in 1972, he released his 15th studio album, Talking Book, which we played a little earlier. We played You Are the Sunshine of My Life and also included Superstition. Do you know any Superstition?
Very superstitious.
There
I don't
go.
Know exactly the words. The words are a hard thing for me.
The lyrics are tough at 6:56 in the morning. I understand.
They are.
That's okay. I've got one more for you. It was on this day in 1989 that Janet Jackson began a four-week run atop the album chart with Rhythm Nation 1814, which included Miss You Much, Escapade, and Love Will Never Do Without You. Got a favorite off of that one?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Escapade. I don't
there
know.
You go.
Okay. I just think, yeah, all of it.
Okay.
Back when Janet Jackson was cool.
Very cool. I mean, all of the Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis songs on there were just the whole album, top to bottom, was wonderful.
Also, her being a woman who took control of producing her album and having her vision represented, that was pretty unique back then.
It was, very much so. Let's see. Today would have been the 76th wedding anniversary for Chuck Berry. It was on this day in 1948 in St. Louis that Chuck Berry married his wife, Tottie Suggs. They remained married until his death in 2017 at age 90. A 68-year marriage. And Tottie is still with us today at age 97. So they were married 76 years ago today. Today is International Animation Day. Today is National First Responders Day. Today is National Immigrants Day. Today is National Chocolate Day, it says here. But I feel like there's a chocolate day like three times a month on this of some sort. Didn't we just have chocolate cupcakes or something? But apparently this is Chocolate Day. And finally, this is Plush Animal Lovers Day, whether you call them plush animals, stuffed animals, stuffies, whatever the case may be. Selena, give us the number of stuffies in your house right now. Round it up to the nearest 100 if need be.
Way too many. I was like, they have no purpose.
We'll quiz Selena more about that in the second hour of Up North News Radio, perhaps with music, coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more,
you're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North
North News Radio, Congressman Mark Pocan and congressional candidate Kristen Lyerly join us as we wrap up the campaigning and get all set for the voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.